Welcome everyone to Jasnik's Chateau of Macross Love.
Round
We're
two.
Sitting here surrounded by Macross stuff. You know, Jason here is it's like a chipmunk when it comes to Macross stuff. He just buys Valkyries and stuffs his cheeks full of them and then hoards them. But yes, this is one of the more alcohol-fueled episodes of Macross Speaker Podcast in the aftermath of Macross Worldcon 2015. To my right, I have...
Save. Also known as Save Robotech.
Let's go in a circle here, guys. All right, floppy all right. Hair.
Kyle, also known as Falcon KPD on the boards.
All right, the Cheryl T-shirt.
Jason C, Jasnik, take your pick.
The real Cheryl.
Cheryl, Cher, Reflex Point, long time ago.
What are you drinking?
Number 21 Copper Lager.
All righty, would you like to...
Yeah, this is Steve. I'm not even on the boards.
Did you hear that?
But I do browse and read.
We have a stalker.
One of us.
And?
I'm Chris. Technically, I'm on the boards, but nah, not anymore.
Chris, what happened to your beard?
It got trimmed.
Why?
Because it'll grow again.
No, what's your Facebook name, though?
Insatiable Chris Harper.
All right. With the trimmed beard.
With the trimmed beard.
But anyway, we've just gotten back from Macross Worldcon 2015. A rather different con to last year, but no less interesting. So where do we kick this off, guys? We want to talk about who we had guest-wise, just basically. So we had... Excuse me, there's my phone now. So we had Rune Sasaki. Someone will tell me who she is and why we're all there to see her. Well, anyone.
All right, so she was the voice actress for Vanessa, one of the Bridge Bunnies in the original Super Dimension Fortress Macross. And she also voiced Mimsy in Orgus. And she's well known for her voice talents.
Right, and the Orgus connection there is, of course, interesting because, of course, we just had... When did this come out, Jason? Last week?
I believe a couple weeks ago.
The Discotheque release... Finally, of Super Dimension Century Orgus. So, the con had a bit of an Orgus slant to it.
Yes, it did. It did.
So, we had Rune Sasaki, of course, we had Mario Jima turn up again. And that's not to say, like, that makes it any less of an appearance. And we had another panel more Orgus focused. I was off talking to people during this panel. Does someone tell me who was at this panel, because there seemed to be a lot of people. Jason.
Okay, I'm going to try and remember everybody's name here, because I'm already getting a little bit tipsy and tired. We had David Keith Riddick.
Who is?
Was?
He was basically, I think he was doing story writing and helping with the translations and that for Orgus and I believe Macross 2.
Mm-hmm.
We had Victor Garcia, who he did Olsen in Orgus and also helped with a lot of the other voice stuff and getting people organized. I honestly don't know the technical rules that they had in it, but, you know, they all basically, I guess back in the day, they all kind of just did a little bit of everything, whatever they could do, fill in the blanks kind of job. And then we had John Fawn and Tom Fawn, both brothers.
Are they like Street Fighter characters?
I know, all player one and player two.
Yeah, one has the cap, one has the skateboard.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's the Street Fighter 3 characters.
But yeah, one of them played Kay in Orgus. The other one did Hibiki in Macross 2. And what else do we had? Les Claypool the third.
Awesome.
Not the bass player for Primus.
Damn. Now, I remember seeing Les's name on a bunch of stuff back in the day. So he was basically, what, translating? Or was he sound producing?
He's sound engineer. Engineer.
Okay. And, like, I'm talking, wasn't he involved with early Streamline dubs?
He's got a long list of credits from Cowboy Bebop, Ghost in the Shell, Akira, Macross 2, Orgus, obviously, but just a whole list of stuff. And he's still working in the industry, still doing sound engineering.
Okay.
So,
good stuff. Well,
you
look.
The sister.
Oh.
The other Fawn.
The other Fawn.
Dorothy Fawn.
Dorothy Fawn.
Yeah. Who couldn't remember who she was in Macross 2.
But did we guys mention that this is US
rendition?
Neither
can we, so.
Yes.
This is basically the panel about the foundation of U.S. renditions back in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, so while it did focus on Orgus because, you know, that was what they all came to talk about, especially with the DVD release, it was basically a panel on the history of U.S. renditions, how they all came together and started creating the show Orgus, how, you know, and how the beginnings of anime before, you know, I mean, obviously you had, when Robotech came down here, it was meshed in with other series, and that was kind of the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these shows were just, they were just Recon. Butchered and chopped and however the producers wanted it to be. And these guys back in the early days said, no, you know what, we want it as it is, and we want to translate it as it is intended to be meant, and we want to, you know, because it's art, and it's got a really good story to tell. And so that was basically the story of how they got started, how they got into this, and a lot of them started off as just fans. So it was, you know.
Yeah. And just how many Fawns there are.
Oh, yeah.
There were like three more we didn't have.
Yeah, they have that one that works like on Broadway, and one's in Wicked, and... Yeah.
That's the one who works on Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Like, yeah. We need another female. I have another sister. Okay.
They had a lot of interesting stories too, just of, you know, being frustrated with the equipment they had and working with the Japanese.
That's frustrating. Yeah. Take it from me.
And just dealing with the voice actors because they were all related, and they recorded all separately. Because that was the main thing. Where in Japan, when they do the voice recording, everyone's in the same room reading their lines one after the other. But here, it's more common that you go and you read your own lines, somebody reads their other lines, and then they put it all together. Disney movies, they usually tend to read together, but not in a group, maybe just two or three characters.
But they're isolated in their own.
Yeah, they are. So, but then one of the characters, I forgot, one of the voice actors had said that it turned out when he went that day, earlier today, to go on YouTube and try to remember what he worked on. And I guess he had said that he saw a scene on YouTube of where he's basically being romantic and kisses this other character who is actually voiced by his sister. So he's like, but then his wife is in the business, so he's like, why didn't they get my wife to be that character?
Well, they were predicting Japanese anime trends 20 years earlier.
There you go.
Oh,
there was another guy who had an argument with himself.
Yeah.
There was another guy in his
life. Oh, yeah.
Because the old man didn't want the guy to steal the
Orgeroid.
The Orgeroid, and then also the guy wanting to steal it.
Yeah, the same guy. No, they said a lot of interesting stuff, especially David Keith Riddick.
Yeah.
I like all the stuff they talked about, you know, all the, basically, the recording stuff. That was interesting. But I know a lot of people left and didn't sit through this amazing panel, but I did record it, so anybody that wants to listen to it. No, it was really good. It was kind of like the first panel we've had like that at the con. So,
yeah, it felt more like a, I don't want to say a regular con, but a larger con panel.
Yeah.
You'd get at a larger con, more established con. Well, the first event of the day, though, was a delayed presentation.
Oh, God.
So, you want to tell us what exactly you did, Kyle?
Okay, so I'm doing a web-based fan comic of Macross, and I'm calling it Macross Elysium. And I finally decided, hey, why not put sound to it? Why not edit it into a video and present it? So I did, and it was delayed a little bit.
How long did that take you to edit?
Oh, God. Okay, well, the overall process of actually getting the voice actors' lines in, chopping up the pages into usable panels that I could manipulate in the program, and all that other stuff took me about 6 months, but when I finally started getting to the nitty-gritty of editing, it took me about 3 weeks of just nonstop editing on my days off and break times at work, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a labor of love, came together, and I'm kind of proud of it.
The students are out today, huh? Looks like Pirelli is training them early this semester. Might as well see how they handle themselves.
Looking Glass, this is Wright 001, come in. Requesting permission to deviate from course.
Wright 001, please stand by. Captain, more civilian traffic. A Wright Academy instructor wishes to divert course to the rogue planet.
He should be able to handle himself. I'll allow it.
Wright 001, you're cleared to divert from your waypoint. Good luck. Roger, Looking Glass, I'm off.
Ma'am, we're getting strange signals from the rogue planet's far side. It's hard to tell because of the metallics in the rocks. But it could be a Valkyrie of some kind.
Better play it safe. Have Sapphire Force ready on Alert 5.
I actually liked it. I mean, of course, Gwen and I, we were chomping down on some McDonald's food because we were about to pass out. But I rather enjoyed it. I thought it was well edited. The scenes, it tells the story really easily and really well. Where, you know, you don't have to figure out, like, okay, what's going on between here and here? Like, how did this happen? So it runs very smoothly through, almost as if, I mean, you didn't have to make an emotion comic. I'm glad you did, because I love it. But if you were to just read it off a page, it tells a story perfectly.
Oh.
So it just makes it even more better as it's motion comic. And with the voice actors, it's good. Really good work.
And I didn't get to see it because I was manning my booth at the time because it was right at the opening. So.
It'll be on YouTube eventually. In fact, it's actually up now. It's just unlisted. So I might make one or two more tweaks to it and put it up in its entirety. And I will give the link to Gwen to put in the description of the podcast, if you don't mind.
No, it sounds good. I wouldn't even mind putting a sample of the audio in.
Yeah. Alright, yeah, I can give it to you.
But I thought the composition, the editing, the use of sound just all came together really well.
Thank you.
It was really well done.
I'm looking forward to the next 20 chapters of it.
Alright.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. It might take a while. It'll take a very long
time.
Give
you 6 months.
Don't start telling the story of Zero, though. Don't go that route.
Oh, God. Because
you'll never escape.
I did actually kind of think of doing a bit of a flashback, but not that far back, but no, I'm
Elysium Zero.
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting line between, like, storyboards versus comic versus, like, animation. Full animation. It was an interesting medium point between the two.
Thanks.
So, has anyone really watched much in the way of motion comics?
Not really.
So his is the best. I
or
can
possibly
say that
only.
As someone that
No, that's not true. I think for a while, I don't know if it's still on there, but on Netflix they had
Crunchyroll's got some too.
They had some Marvel like motion type comic things that they were showing, and I mean, I never watched them all the way through, so I don't know if that's a telling sign. But
now I've got the.
But this is Macross, though, so I mean,
yeah.
I've got the Metal Gear Solid ones.
That was mainly one of my biggest inspirations in making this was. I wanted it to be like, kind of like the Peace Walker cutscenes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yep. I could see that definitely. Yeah. I didn't know you played Peace Walker.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of those in video games. Yeah, like the Max Payne stuff.
Yeah.
It's all motion comics in between, but they didn't do nearly as much sound direction as you did.
Yeah.
Usually they're just the voiceovers and then the motion. They don't have the sound effects of the.
Right.
And then all the sound direction.
Yeah, because Peace Walker did well, and after that they released like Metal Gear 1 and 2 in comic book form, and then they. Did a motion comic on DVD. Yep. And what's great about that, completely off topic, is that the original comic was in English. And if you buy the DVD in Japan, they put all the voice work from the Japanese games in there. So it becomes subtitled by default. That's kind of interesting. But anyway, you know, I saw a lot of kind of common ground there. And it's interesting to note that that was an influence. But I thought that was really well done. So we'll be doing this every year at Macross Worldcon from now on?
I'd like to. If things permit, I'd like to have more chapters out by next year. I'd like to have enough to make, one or two more of these motion comics by next year. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, life happens, but, it's one of my goals.
You can't leave the audience on that kind of cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that to me.
Well, they'll just have to come back next year and find out.
Okay. I have to know.
12 months.
I've got a deadline.
The question is, will we have more Macross the First by next Macross Worldcon?
Macross the Thirst.
Yeah.
So the other big guest was Rin Sasaki, and as we mentioned earlier, she came really out of left field, I thought. Apparently she contacted the con, was aware it was going on. And was aware there was stuff for August, and you know, of course the connection with Vanessa. And she was extremely energetic, lively, bubbly, entertaining. I don't know, give me some adjectives here, people.
She was a sweetheart.
Kawaii.
That works. I thought she was great. So she came on, and...
She's, like, the first guest that, like, in a long time, like, out of all the cons I've gone to, so, like, since Anime Expo, to actually not just be invited as a guest... but that went out of her way to get messages from other people from the production to...
That was surprising and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very involved.
Yeah.
In the letters and the...
So, she, like, had she has, like, a grasp on what the foreign fans want from the Japanese talent.
Yeah.
Or the creators.
It's nice to see someone that embraces it. It's not just work, you know. It's just something they enjoy to do.
The workshop stuff was pretty interesting when she brought her student in.
Yeah.
And everything she did was very enthusiastic and
exactly
happy.
Yeah. You can go to a lot of panels for Japanese guests, and when it comes to the Q&A, like they'll just talk about what they're working on. Q&A, somebody asks a question, they'll just answer kind of, well, because we had to. Like, they don't get into, like, this, like, oh, there's this, we had to meet a deadline. We had to do this. The translation always comes out really flat, where she was, the way she was describing, like, Miyatake, and, like, Ishiguro, Ishiguro being this big, like, ecchi pervert guy, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine Renato be, the kind of being like, that's secret, just to say those things.
Well, you know, he did do, what was it, the character was Black Zone. He was, he played the producer in one of the original Macross audio dramas, and he was supposed to be interviewed by Minmay, and Minmay had asked him a question, and he always got the same reply. He's like, Minmay, you're cute. So tell us about this project you're working on. It's like, you're cute. So, his reputation for being a bit of a lech was not unknown, but it was nice to hear her say it, you know.
Yeah, but that's the thing, you have to be a fluent, you have to understand Japanese, like, fluently to get that.
at an overseas con, your translator isn't going to relay that. They're going to, I guess he really likes women. Like, where she was all, he's just etchy. He's just like hentai. You're never going to get that. And she's just, it's just coming out of the horse's mouth. So right. It just made it even more interesting.
Yeah. Now, so, do you think a lot of that had to do with the fact that she's been living in, what, Seattle for like 5-6 years now?
15 years.
She trained that one student who's
I thought I heard like, 5, but 15. Yeah. Okay, I was off by 10.
When she talked to you, it was 16, right?
Yeah, 16.
Wow.
16
years. Okay, so that, you think that...
Yeah, I think
she's probably picked up some of the...
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it, because if she's lived here so long, she gets sarcasm, or she finally understood sarcasm at some point. And just the way she probably watches other TV shows and sees how, you know,
right,
entertainment's done on TV, and that's kind of her profession as well. So, but she was like the first person I've seen that's a voice actor that has come out and really addressed the U.S. crowd. Where the fan events in Japan, you know, it's more or less, they joke around, but they wouldn't say anything about somebody's personality. You know, they'll go out there and say, oh, this or that, or I'll do a special line for you guys, or, you know, they're working the crowd, but they're just being the character. They're not saying anything on a personal level.
Oh, okay.
And as you mentioned, though, she really got into bringing stuff to this panel, because she obviously didn't just want to talk about herself for an hour. So she had what'd she have? She had letters from
Miyatake
and Onogi and Mikimoto, and how Mikimoto found time to reply to a message from her, I don't know.
Busy man.
Well, there's so much Macross the First coming out. I was surprised too.
Exactly.
I honestly was. I really was.
And she had a video letter, a surprise video message from the voice actor for Milia, which is what? What's her name?
Takeda Eri.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow. Nice. The Padawan.
With the wind.
Dude, we're getting old.
No, the funny thing is, I'm sitting there and Richard's like, you know what? Since this has gone over so, this is going over so well this year, we're going to. I'm going to talk to them again to bring Millie's voice actress in next year. And then like 10 minutes later, this video message comes up.
Well, and Rune suggested like at least 3 other people that she was like either implying would come or just that she thinks she would want to come.
Yeah.
Her.
They imply that they wish they could be here. You know. What that means, you know, it's up to interpretation.
Right. But she seemed really enthusiastic about the fact that there was an American fan base, a Western fan base. She wanted to embrace it. She wanted to get as many people involved as possible.
And trying to get her friends with her.
Yeah.
Right. So...
Well, she did say, like, well, Mikimoto found out that there's a Macross Con that's been going on for 10 years. And he got excited. I'm like, wait, is this the same Mikimoto? I've like had to like go up several times and say, can you do a sketch for Macross World? Because we do a convention. Oh, okay, yeah. Next year. There's this con, like, you could tell him one, he doesn't remember anything. he'll be like, oh, yeah, there's a con, okay, here.
So it's not surprising that he was surprised there was a con.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've shown him pictures of Kyle. Yeah. Dressed as Falco.
Yeah. I forget that too.
I thought, you know, if he's going to remember anything.
You know, I'd see him all the time. Every time he did an appearance, I'd be there. Since 1992, I've seen him like almost every other year. And then when I moved to Japan, I even see him more often. And every time I'm like, I was at the last thing. Oh, yeah, I don't remember. I'm like the only giant foreign guy in the sea of like Japanese fans. It's me again. I don't remember. And then Tenzin introduced me to him personally once, and he's like, hi, nice to meet you. So I'm like, yeah, and Tenzin's like, yeah, he said he met you. Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago, I don't remember that.
I don't want to contradict that. You know what happened last time I saw him, because he did all those signing events for a while, and I'd turn up, he'd look up, he'd be like, oh, you again. And he just signed.
You're more memorable.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe he likes blondes.
The accent.
He's into blondes.
What can I say?
Aren't we all?
So it was a really, 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 really good panel. I was surprised at how just funny and how much new stuff it brought to the table.
Yeah, I think that needs to go up. The audio for that needs to go up somewhere.
I got a video recording of the whole thing.
So. Oh, okay.
So that would definitely be going up on the much neglected YouTube channel.
Video
now
for four.
A musical in the interlude.
Yeah, just throw that dander my way, won't you?
Got a drum beat, some bells. He's quite the percussionist, huh?
So the cat is now the muffler for Kyle. So yeah.
The cat has scanned the room and determined who is allergic to cats and just sprayed him with dander, which would be me.
And has also decided to stand in front of the mic. Dude.
And proceeded to knock at least three things over.
But he's very a really, really chill cat. So.
He just hit with his paw, like, these papers.
Yeah, my favorite silly cat video recently was just a cat just knocking over shot glasses, and the person would put the shot glass in front of the cat, and the cat would throw it off the table.
He was doing that this morning. He was doing that this morning with these TV controllers. I had him up here, and he jumped up here, and he was just like, and he just slides it slowly, and he goes.
This well, is how we open the podcast.
Obviously,
right?
The cat likes its Macross. That's why it wouldn't have been involved. Yeah, get on the mic. Okay, so what we have? We've had the US Renditions panel. We've had Rin Sasaki. And before finishing up on Rin Sasaki, I wanted to mention that she had an initiative going. She's due back in Japan on a visit to Japan in November. And she wants to present a bouquet of flowers and a message board to the family of the deceased voice actor for Hikaru. And so she was taking donations and messages, and apparently she got a fair bit of money from the jar I saw. People throwing $20 notes in there and whatnot. So it looks like that's going to happen. And it was just a really nice touch, a nice gesture.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about what she was doing or what she was going to talk about. I was pretty much like cut off from that portion because I already had my hands full. But even just hearing her talk about it, of course, you know, I was too young to know any of this happened. I didn't find any of this stuff out till well into being a fan. But you know, even then, like what she was talking about, you're just kind of like, oh, man. It's touching, right. You know. And so to hear somebody do that, who you know probably worked, you know, for or she did work for a very short time with this guy, and to see her still wanting to do this and give these flowers to his parents is, you know, it really tells a lot about the character of this woman, you know. So
she also gave flowers to another person.
That's right, she gave flowers to Mari Jima, who's back for another year. And you sang, how many songs have we got? Like maybe 8 songs, I'd say.
Something like that.
I'm going to throw this out there. Since last podcast was 90 minutes of talking about Mari, I think this was a better performance than her previous Macross World Con was. But that's me. What did everyone else think?
I agree.
I liked last year's, but this year was better. Yes.
Yeah, how so?
Well, you know how memories work. They work better now. But, I don't know. It felt like she was hitting those notes just a little better, a little cleaner. And
she seemed happier.
Yeah.
She did.
She's a lot more cheerful,
yeah.
It seemed like.
She did, yeah. She seemed much more into it.
Mm-hmm. I think especially when she asked who's here for the first time. A lot of hands went up. And who's here... Just never seen Mari before. My hands went up, so I'm sure that probably kind of encouraged her.
And there was she had a bit more back and forth with the crowd.
Yeah.
And she did 2 original songs this year, only 2.
Were these done in the beginning?
Oh, yeah. Yes. In the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there for like the first like third of it, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, I missed it as well.
She started off with No Limit, which was name of an album. She also did that as one of her ending songs in her Tokyo gigs recently. And it's, yeah, a really upbeat, poppy song. Of all her original ones, it's not a bad one to get started with. But she only did 2 original songs and then went straight into a bunch of macro songs. Now, who can name for me some of the macro songs that she did?
She did Angel Paints.
Do You Remember Love?
Go for the easy one, Carl. Come
on. My Boyfriend Is a Pilot.
Sunset Beach.
Sunset Beach.
There you go.
What's the...
Love Drifts Away?
Yeah. I know which one she didn't do.
What didn't she do?
Silver Moon, Red Moon.
She didn't.
Yeah.
And
she specifically
did that last year, right?
I think she did.
I don't even remember now.
What's the Japanese song title for the big battle song in this TV series?
I Wanna Go.
Love Drifts Away, right?
That was no bad rendition either.
No, that was the one that I actually kind of like, because at that time I was prepping the Tangent video, editing, doing the final things. And I was in the room, but I was like just watching the render, kind of listening. I was like, okay, I've heard this. And when she started singing, I was like, that's new.
Didn't she say she hasn't done that? Like,
she said it's the first time she's sung it.
Sung it live since 82, is what she claimed.
And I think her voice, she can still do that.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
Because it's a really slow-paced, kind of sad song.
Mm-hmm.
That it's inferior to the We Will Win anthem in the Robotech version.
I've never
because
heard
it's
that.
So slow in a big battle scene. You're pretty far behind on a lot of stuff.
That's the thing that a lot of people say. A lot of people get caught up in the tempo of a song. You know, where battle is supposed to be fast paced, and so the song has to be fast paced.
They get caught up in rules,
and you're missing the feeling of the song, just even the note progression, war is not supposed to be a happy thing, especially Macross. Mm-hmm. Macross is not a promotion for war.
It doesn't glorify
the earth had just been
and
destroyed.
So hearing a song that's depressing, that kind of talks about, you know, this is not how things should be, it actually fits Macross a lot more better than we will win. I mean, we will win is, it's such a direct, almost just kind of like a cop-out song, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, it's a good song, it's but it's not...
Well, and Love Drifts Away is, it's not something that's all that unique either in anime. I mean, one example that jumps out to mind in the Street Fighter 2 animated movie, and yes, this is the Gwyn Will Make Street Fighter References podcast, there was a really good fight scene between Vega, or Balrog, depending on your naming conventions, and Chun-Li. She'd just gone out the shower, they're in her hotel room, and in the Japanese version, it was this really slow ballad called Cry, an acoustic ballad. In English, it was Nine Inch Nails.
They talked about that at US Renditions, because the ADR guy that did all that, he's working on that now.
Really?
There's going to be a US release with the awful American version, and they're going to finally do the Japanese version.
Yeah, that'll be on Discotech, I believe. Yeah.
It's a Blu-ray.
I doubt it, but...
But it's just funny how you're bringing it up, and they talked about it on stage today.
Wow, interesting.
Hey, Steve, could you pass me one of those Dos Equis hammers?
Of course.
Thank you. I'm going to be drinking Dos Equis Amber.
New sponsor of Matt Crosby.
Do you need an opener for it?
A 12-pack.
You know, I hear sometimes when people don't drink alcohol a lot, but they drink beer sometimes, they drink Dos Equis.
Yeah. They're also very interesting people.
Yeah.
When Mari asked if there were a lot of people who were new to Macross Worldcon, new to seeing her live, and as you said, there were a lot of hands that got raised, then after that concert, when she did the autograph session, that yes. line of people blew my mind.
I was surprised because before I even came in to see the concert, I was in the dealer room,
mm-hmm.
and slowly but surely that thing emptied completely out. Like, where it was just basically the vendors in there.
How long would you say that line lasted? Hour? And hour then, and a half?
Yeah.
I mean, it lasted for the cosplay competition.
And so I go in and I see, you know, the last two-thirds of the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, say, oh, Mari's going to be signing stuff, and she's got stuff at the table. Get in line. Everybody gets to the line, like, instantly, and it just forms, like, all the way around in front of the stage and starts wrapping around to the other side of the wall where the displays were.
It lapped the hall, and I saw that crowd and I thought, oh wait, I'll come back when it dies down. I came back 20 minutes later, it had grown. So I was like, if I don't get in line now, she's going to leave, because she had dogs to get, a dog that was in the care of a dog sitter, and therefore she wanted to be back. So the story went. So, did anyone get stuff signed? Or was I the only one?
Oh, yeah, I did.
What?
I got a poster. Can't really describe it right now. I can't think. But I had a poster signed by both Rune Sasaki and Mari Ijima that had pretty much all the women of Macross, minus Miria for some reason, with gathered around Hikaru.
And it had the baby.
It had Comedia, but no Miria. I don't really understand that, but okay.
Because Miriam was married.
Oh, all the single ladies. The baby is good to go.
Yeah, technically. This is,
hey, she gets really hot in 2036.
Just went really kind of creepy for a few seconds there.
That's what blame it on the poster, not us.
Just playing a little all the single ladies cut.
Mikimoto drew it.
Oh, my goodness. It's right over there.
What? So, anyone else? Or just, no?
Yeah, I got a confession to make. This is the first time I've actually seen her perform in like the last like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It was better than the last time I saw her. I think the last time I saw her perform was at 2011, and even then I only stayed for like the first like half of it, and then I was like, you know, I saw her perform last year, and saw her perform 2 years before that, and then 2 years before that, and so there was a time where, I mean, I'll be honest, I just got kind of like, okay, you know, I've heard these songs, and
yeah, but that was kind of during the time when she was vocally saying, I'm done.
Yeah, and
I'm
done. And I think that kind of had a lot to do with it, because I kind of I don't get worked up over that stuff. It's like, you know, whatever they want to do, they, you know, whatever. But I think I was just kind of like, you know, I don't even know what emotion I'm going to get, and I don't want to have to try and figure it out while you're singing, so I'm just going to go get lunch, you know. I'm sorry, but that's the truth, you know. So, but this year I was like, you know, I'm actually kind of more involved in this thing than I wanted to be, and, you know, I'm happy I got involved with it now, you know. Maybe I'll just go ahead and sit in there. And I actually didn't have anything to do during that time, so I was like, you know, I'll actually sit and listen. Okay. So, and I was quite happy. I actually thought it was better performance than 2010.
Oh, yes.
Because 2010 was the last year we had it at UCLA, remember, with the huge displays.
Yeah.
And she had, I guess, seen Maroon 5 the night before, and so she's a huge fan of theirs. And she was hollering and yelling.
She went backstage to meet them.
So she was, like, up super late, plus all the yelling, and then she was trying to perform the next day.
Hmm.
And it just...
Interesting.
Yeah, didn't work out so well.
Again, this year, she seemed a lot more cheerful, and she interacted with the crowd, and a good portion of the crowd hadn't seen her perform yet, so, and it was the first time at the con, so that probably explains why there was a long line.
Right.
But also the fact that she seemed a little bit more personable, I guess, mm-hmm. that maybe encouraged other veterans to get in line.
Yeah, there are a bunch of people in line, that's for sure. So then we had the auction, and Adrian, do you want to describe the auction piece we had? The main auction piece we had this year.
I'll go down the list of what they had. They had one of the old This Is Animation Orgasar books.
Signed by the U.S. Renditions people.
Was it signed? Yeah. Yes. I didn't even say that.
Inside.
It was signed by the U.S.
They didn't say that.
They didn't say that. They just said like this Orgus book.
That was the whole point. Was
I only found out because I asked Alec who bought it.
It's funny because like Tom Bateman is the one who gave it to me, and he said, "Here, I want to give this to you guys. Get this signed by them. You know, if you guys, you know, you guys can go ahead and auction it. You know, just to help contribute to this thing."
Yeah. Well, first they let's go to the beginning. They kind of made this makeshift easel thing out of a desk and a speaker, and then they like put everything up against it to display it to everybody, and then all of a sudden it fell forward and all the prizes fell on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then everyone's just like, oh, and I'm just like, I carried that tangent sketch all the way from Tokyo and you F it up here.
And I was sitting there going 10% off everything.
And luckily nothing was damaged, and they put it back up. And yeah, one was the Orgus book, which I thought it was just the regular Japanese This Is Animation vintage book.
But you were wrong.
But I was wrong. They didn't mention anything about being signed by anyone. Otherwise, I would have bid on that. Because
there was not a lot of upselling on that stuff.
Then they did the lenticular. Well, they upselled the lenticulars because B was being really animated and funny about it. And there was the Tengen lenticular of the VF-25s, and the one with the 1S with the strike packs.
I didn't know it was a Tengen.
Yeah, those are all Tengen illustrations.
I would have probably bid on the 25 if I'd known it was a Tengen.
Yeah,
That's another story.
Then there was this really, really big illustrated cockpit illustration with really nice lines and everything. It was really big. It had to be like 6 feet long, something. And I don't know who the artist was, but it was just really well done. It looked like a schematic that was hand drawn.
Some professor or something. Yeah. They were a professor.
And I put in the first bid at like 30? I think it was $30. And then somebody outbid me by $5, and that person won. So it was like something I figured, it's cool, I'd support it. And then they went
too big to get a lot of interest when you got a lot of people traveling.
True. Even though I'd have to put it in a tube to check it in on a plane to get it back to Japan. Then the final piece was Tengen's sketch for this year, which was the Batroid Orgus. Is that what it's called? Batroid Orgus.
Orgeroid.
That's not Orgeroid. Oh. It's like Orgus Batroid, I think.
Orgus Valkyrie.
I think I remember the first Valkyrie.
Well, anyway, the VF1 Orgus, Batroid, slash Valkyrie. We'll put, just call it that. And that was the thing about that is, and it's not anyone's fault, but a lot of stuff wasn't relayed this year regarding the prizes, and I should have rose a red flag a lot sooner and probably gave a little bit more information. And usually I'm up on stage with B. I did it last year, but this time I didn't go up on stage. And a lot of things weren't mentioned because that sketch is probably the first and last time Tengen will probably sketch that particular belt.
Right.
Because I had asked him, like, why didn't you put this in the Chronicles? Because it was in the show. I mean, yeah. Why not? And he just said, well, that required two different licenses from Big West and TMS. So it's not going to go in there. That makes sense. And I go, have you ever drawn this? He's like, no. I said, will you draw it? He's like, yeah, that sounds good. Because it was the U.S. renditions panel, and he didn't know what to draw. And my suggestions were VF2SS, because they did Macross 2. But they also did Orgus. VF2SS? Nah. So he agreed to do the Orgus. And he drew that sketch in about 35 minutes in a coffee shop in his overworked kind of current state. And the reason he had to draw it, because usually he'll take like 2 days to do it and give it to me the following week. He had no time. He just said, I'm going to have to do it here. He came out of that sketch really quick. I was surprised. Mm-hmm. It's a really good. Nice sketch. Yeah. It was really nice. And so, yeah, the guy that wanted it, he said once they put it on Facebook, because I talked to the guy that won, I think his name was Alan. Could be wrong. I took a picture of him, put him on the podcast. He said when he saw that posted on Facebook, he said, I'm getting that sketch. And he got it at a good price.
He did.
Yeah. Very good Chris price. Made him pay an extra $200 about.
He made a very late bid. I thought I had it.
Really?
At what very price? Late bid. I had $500. And I knew it was a steal at $5 and then some. But we all have to draw our lines, unfortunately, sometimes. Yeah. And I do already have a Tengen sketch.
Damn you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sketch didn't go as high as last year's did, but the attendance was down. Also, last year's sketch was based off of something out of Frontier that featured Isamu Daisen from Plus. So it was kind of like a mix of current Macross and something other people liked from the past. And Tengen was there personally. So I think that kind of like made it go up higher and higher and higher. Where this one, it was more for the guests that were there opposed to appeasing the people that were attending. So you had to be a really, really big fan to know that Batroid existed. Mm. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not going to know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you didn't watch Orgus, you're not going to get the connection unless somebody went up there and explained it, which maybe I should have.
Well, and if as much people who were there were first timers, based on like the Mari, hand raising you mentioned.
Yeah. That's
then
true.
A lot of them are not going to probably bring $2,000. Yeah. To a con they haven't been to before. Yeah.
But yeah, I was happy to see it go. I mean, it's any amount of money that goes towards the con is always good. So
right.
Yeah, I was really surprised at that it went for that price. Because even I was thinking, man, if I hadn't spent like, you know, almost $1,600 on the Chell and Bronca Dolphy Dream figures, I would have easily bid on that thing. I mean, like you said, and I already knew this before that this is probably the only time this is ever going to be drawn by an artist such as Tengen, who is actually working on, you know, in the field, working with Macross art. You know, when is anybody ever going to do this? And that's it. Yeah. You know, so it's like, okay, you know, if I had the money for it, I would have probably gone up to like $750,
yeah,
for it.
So after the auction, we speaking of Tengen,
yeah,
we had a little video message.
We asked him to do a video message because he couldn't make it this year. He agreed, so we recorded that a couple weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. We edited it, subtitled it.
It's subtitled the English bits, I noticed.
Just because, only at the beginning, because since he was leading into, like, talking really about, like, how he's really busy and he was really tired, we put, I decided to put the English subs there, because, it's going into the Japanese, so just so that if people were just wanted to read it, read it, and then it goes into the Japanese, they're still in the same mindset of just reading. But then after the Japanese finished, I didn't put subs because it was just, you know, enjoy Macross Worldcon, you know, blah, 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 Macross Delta. It was a lot less information, so I didn't sub the final final things he said.
Hi, everyone. I hope you are all having a great time at the Macross World Convention 2015. It literally is a great time to be a Macross fan. As you may have heard, the official title for the new TV series was recently announced. If you don't already know, it's called Macross Delta. Macross Delta is keeping me busy. Actually, it's keeping me really busy. And so busy that unfortunately, I can't be with you all today. Sorry about that.
So yeah, he looked really tired in that video. He's obviously working really hard on Delta.
That day, that was the last day I saw him, which is about 2 weeks ago now. And we had to record that as quick as possible because he basically had to get back and work with Kyle Mori that evening. So,
so work is in full swing. Yep. In fact, next podcast we do will be 29th. When they do that stream, the live stream.
Yeah, that was the other point of the conversation, was to announce, for him to tell everyone that there's going to be something big coming up at the end of the month. So please watch it.
Right. And then I had a bunch of Delta flyers, which I then got mobbed for.
Yeah.
That was rough.
It's like people jumping out of their seats before the video had finished. I was like, come on, guys, the lights aren't on yet. Like, I raided a couple of local shops and got all the Delta flyers I could to give out. And that, you know,
that's what you get for telling everyone that there was a limited number.
Well, there was a limited number.
That's true.
Chris, you have two beers in your hand. That's a good thing.
Well, a beer and a partial.
All right.
It's still so two it's bottles. An okay thing.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
All right, so I wonder, now that we've gotten through the preliminaries, overall impressions. I want to know what people thought of the con. I know last year we had a lot of very boisterous and loud impressions of the con. Unfortunately, Jet is not with us this time around. Nor is Syrian, who is actually, I think, the noisiest person on that podcast. She blew the mic.
Levels. Yeah.
But a little more on the lowdown this time. A little more refrained. But what did everyone think overall?
So why don't we just start all the way around the room? All
right, so we're going to start with Chris here.
Okay. Well, it was it had a different feel.
Mm-hmm. How so?
I don't know. I mean, just Tengen brought a different feel to things. But I did enjoy it, just in a different way. It's hard to describe right now. And that's really nice, actually, to get something different. So, I enjoyed it, especially the Rin Sasaki panel. And unfortunately, I didn't make the U.S. Renditions panel. But
and why was that?
Food.
All right.
And football. Let's not talk about that right now.
And the essentials of watching what will be one of the most YouTube finals of any American college football game in the last 20 years.
Don't talk about my broken heart, okay?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the real football from the UK.
No.
So you are not forgiven.
This is American college football, not real football. I'm sorry.
Which game?
Michigan State, in which, with 10 seconds left and nothing of any importance to do except just stand there and wait for 10 seconds to go by, they dropped the ball and gave it to the other team who scored and won. So all the winning team had to do was stand there and not drop it.
No, they had to kick it. they had to kick it. But
I'm explaining for people who may not know that much about football.
If this won't make the podcast, although I've heard it a bunch of times on the podcast, I guess, but
this is my first time.
So how was it?
It was fun. I've done some general anime cons, not very large ones. So this was a much more like intimate and small kind of thing. I was pleasantly surprised by both the Rune Sasaki and the American voice cast in terms of what they could talk about and bring, and I managed to buy something. So
what'd you buy?
I got
the Frontier Blu-ray box set.
Yes, I got a copy of the Frontier Blu-ray box set.
The Shooty Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
Which I did not think I was going to do, because I'm not much of a collector of anything. Yeah. I'm not, a huge Macross fan, but I have seen just about all of it.
Come to Macross WorldCon, you can get some real bargains. Was a bargain.
What did you get, Chris?
Too much. But no Tengen sketch, though.
Yeah.
And I hear they have good subtitles in that Shooty Star box set, but...
well...
kittens.
Lots of kittens.
Cheryl.
Oh, it was... The attendance was a lot lower, in my opinion, than last year, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. I love Rin Sasaki. She was great. And just having all the messages from the other voice actors and Mikimoto reading off a letter from Mikimoto, and it was just really, she was just fun. Yes, renditions, I mean, I know David Keith Riddick. I was kind of grew up in that era, so I was very interested in hearing their experiences. The only complaint I had was everybody in the back of the room kept talking.
Really?
You couldn't hear certain people.
Okay.
Yeah, that definitely happened.
So it was a bit rude. I mean, I understand everybody was socializing, but
yeah,
I just thought it was a bit rude for when the panel was going on.
It is a venue with limited
space,
locations.
Yes.
And considering 2 years ago, everything was just in that one room
with vendors.
When Mari was performing, it was even louder.
Yes.
Because all the vendors were lined up selling on the side, on one side of the room. But now they have the maid cafe, they're doing the sandwiches, and then they had, what was going on? I think Rune was still signing at that point.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Still was signing.
So it wasn't that loud compared to how it's been before. But yeah, I was kind of sitting there trying to be I was already engaged, but I was at least trying to make them know that I'm listening. I don't care about them. But.
There weren't a lot of mics to go around for the panel.
Yeah, there were two mics.
So there was a lot of panels talking to each other, and you couldn't hear a word they were saying.
But the good thing is they commented about how they started doing cons much like this one.
Mm-hmm.
So they know exactly what it's like to be shorthanded or not have enough mics or not enough seats, so I'm pretty sure they're forgiving. Yeah. Where if it was Mari, she's going to say something in the beginning of her show about how something didn't go her way.
Like someone who didn't meet up with her.
So you're going to know where, them. Yeah.
I actually came on early this time, but no one was there to meet me.
Yeah. Anyways, not to take away from your comment, I was just adding to that.
No, it was a very different con from last year and the previous years, but it was enjoyable. A little bit more old school because of the whole Orgus thing.
Of course, I enjoyed it. As I said before, I did a lot more. I was a lot more involved with this one this year than I've ever been.
How much sleep had you had?
The last 2 or 3 days, I've been going to bed like 2-3 in the morning. Actually, the night before we picked you guys up, we were up till 3:30. And then last night was pretty rough too, because I'd been driving around all day. And then, of course, we went out, and then we picked these guys up. And at the end of the day, I still had to allocate prizes for all the raffles and this and that. And I still had to convert the YouTube videos to MP4 so I could so we could play them for the panel. So I still didn't go to bed till like after 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on top of that, walking around all day. I mean, I was pretty much, I mean, there was a few times where I got pulled in three different directions all at the same time. So, and there just, there wasn't the staff that we had years before, the past couple of years. Right. So, you know, a lot of it was just, okay, you know, these tables need moved. Okay, I guess I'll just move them. But overall, you know, we did pretty well with less. I thought the panels were amazing. And I'm, you know, I'm still kind of in amazement how they just happened to just come together. You know, because we didn't really reach out to these people, you know. Yeah. They just, it just happened. So it's kind of a little miracle there. But meeting Ruth Sasaki was great. I mean, the impression I got from her was just bubbly. I mean, just watching her talk with such emotion and such spirit and what she does. I mean, you can really tell that she loves what she does. And to see that, you know, versus some, you know, like I think you had mentioned earlier, some of these people are just like, yeah, you know, this is what I'm working on now, and it's great, you know, it's great, blah, 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 you know. Versus someone who's talking about something that they did over 30 years ago and still talking about it as if they just did it yesterday. You know, and that was amazing. Also, seeing Kyle's thing, I told Kyle I've been a fan of his work ever since his first images started coming up on the Macross Fans US page, and it I was like, dude, I am a fan of your stuff, and seeing it on a screen up there at a panel at a Macross convention, it's good stuff. So I'm proud of this guy right here.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. But the US Renditions panel, those guys are awesome people, and the fact that they knew that this was a small convention but were still willing to all come together and meet, and they understood that. I mean, I was getting emails from them last night like, I hope everything's okay with you, Jason. I know you're gonna be, you know, busy tomorrow. Just to let you know, you know, if there's anything we can help you out with, just let us know. And even there, while I'm trying to situate everything, like, oh, no, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll just wait right here. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Just go ahead and do what you got to do. I mean, that kind of support, instead of just like, well, how come you're not doing this for me? How come you're not helping me out here? You know, so they, you know, having that those kind of guests is just a godsend for everything.
It felt really intimate at times, in terms of just the small number of, it's a small con, and they kind of knew it and were playing to that, and Yeah.
And before today, I really only knew David Keith Riddick. I mean, I think I met him like maybe 3-4 years ago, and we just kind of hit it off because we both work at the same place. So today was the first time I actually got to see these people in person, and it was just, they were just talking to me, and we were just conversing as if we've known each other for years. So, and it's, at the end of that panel, they were like, you know, we really want to get you involved and help, you know, we've got a lot of things planned, and, you know, thank you so much for helping us out. You've inspired us to get on the ball and, you know, keep going with what we're working on and what we've been trying to work on for several years. And so for somebody to actually say that to me, I mean, I don't consider myself one of those people that really inspires people. I mean, you know, I'm a guy who works, I do this and that, and then I come home, you know. But to hear people like that say that to me is, you know, inspiring me to do a little bit more. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But overall, I thought it was a good panel. I don't know the actual numbers, but I heard they were somewhat the same as last year.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was just the layout of the convention or what, but, you know,
well, hopefully, I know the room got packed during Mari's concert. Like, the room was full. So
my guess would be 300.
Yeah. Last year was like 500, 400.
No, that was previous. That was the first year you went.
That was the first year Tengen showed up.
Last year was your first year. The first Tengen year was packed.
Really?
Yeah. And that was when the vendors were, that was all in one room.
Yeah.
And then last year was the first year, and the second, the dealer's room.
Yeah.
Tasugane utsu
As for me, I enjoyed it overall. I felt more involved this year than last year. I presented my project. I entered the art contest, the modeling contest, and
how did you do?
Well, I what?
I was just doing this when you said art, right? Did you get?
Never mind. Yeah. No. I won the live art contest that we had.
Second year in a row.
So I'm defending my title.
First place.
And yeah, I.
Nothing without a three-peat.
Well,
there's you need a three-peat.
Next year.
Working on it.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like 7 years in a row.
Yeah. They'll disqualify me eventually and just say, Kyle, you can't enter this contest anymore.
Or they'll just make you a judge.
Yeah, I would judge. No, I'm talking out my ass right now. Anyway, I also entered the modeling contest. I got a master file out of it. It was a good time. But really, what it all comes down to is the thing I love most about this con is seeing all you guys and, you know, getting together, seeing some people I normally wouldn't. Hi, Chris. Seeing some people I normally wouldn't. It just... That's what really makes conventions for me.
I mean, the format was pretty much the same as last year's as far as how the rooms are set up. Nothing really changed. Hopefully that'll actually change and get bigger with the new show coming out. But what I did notice, the one difference I noticed was because more and more people are getting to know each other out. You know, whether we've all met each other on Facebook first and met in person, this show is a lot more, like how you were saying, more intimate as far as the guests are talking to the attendees, and the attendees were talking more like it was a reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everyone was just like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, we weren't really expecting, is it going to be a big party afterwards, this? It was like, everyone just like, well, we can just do this, go eat. And just all day, everyone was trying to help each other or keep each other. Like, even if they weren't helping you, if you look bored, somebody was like talking to you, you know, and not just this versus that. Just like, oh, tell me about this, or I don't know about this, or did you see all this? So it was really cool that way. I really felt a connection between all the attendees. Yeah. And dealer's room was really good. It looked like people that actually deal with the majority of Macross stuff made a lot of good sales. I think Sean got wiped out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so much stuff
got wiped out. His wife called and said, don't bring anything home.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Wow. As he marked down a price.
And I didn't do as much running around last year because we didn't have to get on stage at all.
Yeah.
But I had to get that message done. Luckily, my friend Mike was helping me at the booth. So I had to run back and forth a couple of times, but nothing that was really time sensitive like you would have to deal with or handling guests. But I'm really hoping that the con grows next year. Like, out of the Ken, it was a Ken Miller recreation thing. But I think it's going to depend on what Delta brings to the table, because Delta might only appease old fans and not younger fans. So we'll see.
I think it might be a little bit difficult, especially since, I mean, I don't know when it's actually going to come out, if it's going to be spring or if it's going to be summer.
You'll know at the end of this month.
Yeah. So, I mean, even going off that, you know, if the con next year, if it was the same date next year, you know, Delta is still going to be pretty damn new.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really hard to judge how many people that's going to draw in while it's probably like still in this like infancy stage.
Mm.
You know, but I guess, you know, I would probably say the year after we would definitely know if we need something bigger. But I think the goal, hopefully, and I don't know if I should be saying this now, but the goal eventually, what I'd like to see hopefully, is maybe moving the date to something closer to something bigger, like AX or San Diego Comic-Con, where, yeah, we could probably edit all this out, before we can get some people to make a little detour off the beaten path.
Right. Well, you know, Kyle kind of stole my thunder.
Oh, did I really?
Damn you, Kyle.
Son of a bitch.
What did I do?
I mean,
Well, you still got the lightning.
I kind of enjoyed Final Fantasy XIII. Not that much. But anyway. So I got off the plane, like, you know, yesterday, and I'm getting back on the morning after tomorrow, so it's a kind of a whirlwind trip. And what makes it for me is A, you people. Not you, Adrian. I deal with you enough.
Deal. What do you mean, you people?
You people.
What do you mean, you people?
You people.
Yeah. You're an American now. You better learn how to
be. You can't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and, you know, meeting up with everyone. And there's the small moments. I mean, I got a shout out from Rin Sasaki at the beginning of her panel, which was kind of unexpected.
Yes, I remember that.
And I was like, she's like, "Go in the front, speaks really good Japanese." So I'm like, well, I kind of wish I was interpreting for you right about now.
It's probably the one time that
there.
You're going to be somewhere and somebody who is a fluent Japanese, who's a native Japanese person, goes to you and says, "Your Japanese is so great." Usually you roll your eyes. It's like, Jesus.
It's like, you know, it was good. And then, you know, Mari was talking to me and she's like, "You look younger." And I'm like, "I'm just taking after you, Mari." And she's like, "Aww." And that was, yeah, that was a moment.
You charmer.
Yeah.
Gwen Campbell, ladies, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's all for Mari, you know. And her gig was, you know, better than expected. And catching up with everyone. I felt it was more low-key. You know, we had the wild after party last year. And that, you know, probably all the tension came from Hisame, to be honest, on stage. It was a lower key con, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah. So, and to round things off, I mean, best part of it, they had a brand new game in the lobby. You walked in there and they had Macross Tactics.
Oh, yeah.
This new RPG, I never heard
of. Macross Tactics, yeah.
Yeah. So look out for that. I'm sure it will be in store soon.
Did anybody...
Well, he didn't like that comment.
He likes Robotech Tactics.
He prefers Robotech Tactics, which has been on shelves for at least a year.
I know. Did anybody sit through the cosplay stuff? I was in and out of it, so I didn't
get to see it. Sirion did an amazing... Actually, all of them were really good.
Jet was great.
Jet was amazing.
What was like their skits? Or?
Jet did You Remember Love.
I didn't get to see who won,
She won. She and
she
did a great job.
Very good.
Yeah,
it was really
good. Yeah.
Awesome.
And then the kid with the bachelorette. He didn't seem too... The kid himself didn't seem too interested, but the
father?
The
my dad's making me come out here. And
it was amazing. I mean, that kid was just perfect in terms of being completely covered in every toe with that armor.
Out of curiosity, when I came back
through... I don't think you could do that with a real
person. I came back during the judges, I think they were talking about the kid at that point, and I think somebody had said something, blah, 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 dressed as something, but they changed the name, so I was wondering, did they enter it as, like, a Veritech, and then change it to, like, a Valkyrie, or Batroid, or something?
Well, the kid was in Protoculture Con.
And he won.
And he won, without the fast packs.
Yeah.
And he added fast packs for Macross World, so...
That was cool.
Yeah,
I just there was something about when they introduced it. Like somebody mentioned, "Oh, well, he originally like entered in at this name, but it was changed." So I was like, "Wonder if like it had something to do with that." And I just saw the people on stage. I saw Sirion and Sirion's performance with what's her name? I can't remember her name.
Paprika Mari.
Yes, Paprika Mari. They've got their act really down.
These two are adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did the lion medley. What do they call that? Just
Nyanya medley.
Nyanya medley.
Yeah.
7-minute performance.
Yeah. Nor just keeping the crowd going, man.
Norge.
You know, the first time he did that was in 2010.
Yes.
For the karaoke contest, because we used to have one of those. And he nailed it, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, this guy can sing."
He's talking about Norg doing Runner.
Yeah. I heard him from the other room, and I was like, "Who the heck is singing that?" And I walked in, and he's like, Jesus.
At first, I didn't even know it was singing. I came in, and I'm like, "What are they showing?" The opening to Macross, and I looked up and it was Norge, and I was like, "Oh, hi, Norge."
That's right in his vocal range, those songs.
Yeah.
And I was pretty impressed. Rin Sasaki was standing by the side watching everybody when they did the cosplay. I mean, I could, because I was sitting like only like a couple feet away just because of where my chair was. And she wasn't not paying, I mean, she was watching and clapping and cheering. I mean, it was part of the same kind of bubbly personality you were talking about.
Yeah.
And she was really engaged.
You didn't even mention the highlight of the con, Adrian, which was Big Clan.
Oh, yeah.
Raphael.
Mr. Big Clan.
Yes,
Mr. Big Clan.
I didn't know that for a few hours.
But it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't believe me when I told him after
I was mixed.
I figured it out mid talking to the person. I think goes by
Gogo.
Gogo, yeah.
I know the guy.
Like Ichigogo or something like that. And because I saw a clan. First, I saw the Chibi Clan, Korma. I was like, oh, a clan. And I'm like, okay. Just kind of, yeah, I see enough of those.
I think you told me, I was standing next to you, and you're like, you know, there's not a lot of girls that do Big Clan. And I was like, yeah, true.
It's true. And that still stands to this day. Even if you count Hisame. But
that explains the perfectly round bust.
Yeah. I mean, because attention to detail. Mm-hmm. No, because... saw the cosplayer. We'll go with that. I saw the cosplayer come through the dealer's hall, and I told Gwen, "Hey, I gotta get you the photo because I'm stuck here anyway." So went, got the photo. I was talking to the cosplayer, and found out midway that just like in Japan, he was cross-playing. He's not a cosplayer. I was like, okay, that's cool, but it was just, this is awesome, so can I get this picture of this? I was just telling him, like, this is awesome, no one does clan. He's like, yeah. I'm like, everyone does TV clan. He's like, yeah, I couldn't pull that off. So took a couple photos, and it was just the amount of detail that guy put in the suit. I mean, just the stitching and the fingers of the gloves and everything. I mean, I've seen a lot of the version of that suit, and it didn't have that much detail.
He did that in, like, 2 weeks, too. He was sending the updates on it as we were... getting ready for the con.
So yeah, I mean, that was really cool. And I had asked, are you entering? He said, no, I'm judging. Like,
Were there only two clans?
There's two. The smaller one. The chibi one.
Because I ran into them in the bathroom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Both of them?
There was two clans when I went to the bathroom.
Interesting.
The pilot,
almost hit one of them.
The Miltrandi one, the tall one.
So I was asking, were there only two clans, and were there any other clans?
Only two clans.
There's two of them. And I opened the door. It was a small bathroom, and I almost hit one of them. So I said, sorry. Yeah.
Maybe they should have said sorry.
Pretty cool.
It was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right, look, we're going to round it off here for now, and I'm hoping to, if everything works out, pop in some audio from the US renditions panel.
Yep.
And see what everyone thinks of it. But so look, it's getting really late, and this is probably the most subdued podcast we've ever done, which I blame on the cat.
No, this is the most subdued Kyle we've ever had.
Which I blame on the cat.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm very tired.
So, on behalf of Tired Kyle and the cat, this is a speaker podcast. Folding out.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next year.
Next D Culture. Completely forgot to mention Nelia's voice actress showing the picture of Macross 7.
Oh, that was awesome.
Not just that, just how she kept pulling up cells.
And those were cells. Like, when she pulled them up, I was like, I want.
How dare she have those cells? Those should be on Yahoo Auction.
Just because she, like, just because she was the voice those actor. How dare she have the cells?
Yeah, she must have kept them. She must be like, this is like, I'm a sexy bitch. Like, just the one that she had the
I like how she 7, pulled the, it up. The bathing suit the bathing suit Miria.
Yeah, it's all the longest one. Oh, what? Man.
Yeah, what
with those legs don't quit.
Senpai, senpai, hentai, 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 hentai. Oh my god, I never said hentai. She said that. I want to look into your head brain.
Daijoubu.
So we all did the voiceover for Macross together in the studio. She was such a senpai. Senpai means much more veteran, more experienced than me. So actually, it's been a secret, but I was so afraid of her. Demo, すごい. This time she emailed me and she said, I'm going to meet you. And I was so happy to see her. So thank you for this opportunity, Macross World. Thank you.